You are Locked On Aggies, your daily podcast on the Texas A&M Aggies. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Howdy, everybody, and welcome back into another episode of Locked On Aggies, presented by the Locked On Podcast Network. Cole Thompson back in action, talking all things Texas A&M, and today, what we're going to do is we're just going to let our mock draft fall out. What exactly does this mean? Well, Texas A&M is going to have a multitude of players hoping to make their name at the NFL draft on April 29th. But it's a little hard to project where they're going to go. So what we did was I let three of the top mock draft simulators from ProFootballNetwork.com, TheDraftNetwork.com, and PFF.com go through and select every single pick. And we're going to go ahead and look at every single selection for these players, where they landed, and what I think of the pick and the fit. Before we begin, make sure you're following us on social media at Mr. Cole Thompson. I am the host of the show, and I love public feedback. Anything you can do to make this a more quality-sounding podcast Monday through Friday, give me a follow, give me a shout-out, and I will add it into the mix. Secondly, Locked On Aggies. Locked On Aggies is your number one source for all things 12th man-related content found here on LOP. You can subscribe on iTunes, listen on Spotify, and if you can't do any of that, listen live every single day at LockedOnPodcast.com. So, the NFL draft is a weird conundrum because when you really think about it, what is everyone thinking? What are the picks? Where does everyone think someone's going to land? And what's the actual value of a pick? Well, it really is just based off of scheme number one, and I would say number two, overall thought process of elimination of what is your best fit. So what are some pieces that every team needs? For Texas A&M, there's a lot of different areas where they're sitting, waiting on the board, and hoping that one of their players will land in the right system to be a superstar. But there isn't a solidified first-round pick. No one really knows what the talent's going to be after Kellen Mond and where people are going to land. Some believe that they could have Bobby Brown going as high as the third round. Others believe he could be a six-round pick. And then you have guys such as, of course, Jamon Osmond and Anthony Hines who opted out. Because of that, does that hurt their overall draft stock? Well, what we did was we went through the three major mock draft simulations. And it would be Pro Football Focus, Pro Football Network, and the Draft Network. And the Draft Network is actually a sponsor with us here at Locked On Podcast. And we're going to go ahead and decipher every single pick made by a Texas A&M player and where they fit. So why don't we start it off with our own Draft Network site. So according to the Draft Network, the first pick for Texas A&M will not come until the 113th selection, where Kellen Mond will be a member of the Carolina Panthers. Now what's funny is that before the Sam Darnold trade, I actually thought this would be a really good fit for Kellen Mond. And when you look at what Matt Rhule and Joe Brady want to run, they want a guy who can be effective. And I think that the overall numbers when you look at Kellen Mond is he's a quarterback who can work well in the pocket, can work outside, and maybe the problem wasn't really him. It was his limited weapons that he had in 2020. Because again, remember, he lost Jamon Osmond, he lost Kendrick Rogers, he lost Caleb Chapman, he lost Courtney Davis, he lost a lot. He didn't really have that many players helping him out this year. So when he was on the, when he was on the pressure, it was up to him to be the guy to really solidify himself as this QB6. And that's what a lot of people were asking. Where is he? Is he a QB? What number is he? Is he QB6? Is he QB8? And the argument is, no one really knows. Now, what I will say is, according to this mock, he's QB7. Davis Mills goes before him, I think in the third round it says, but two picks after Mond, Kyle Trask goes to the Dallas Cowboys as Dak Prescott's backup. Do I like this fit? Yeah, I do. I really do, because I'm not sure what Sam Darnold's ceiling is. And when you look at the picks that Carolina does make in this draft, the attention is on the offensive side, but it's on the offensive line. They have them taking Rashawn Slater at pick number 8, Eric Stokes, the cornerback from Georgia, at pick number 37, I believe it is. And then in the third round at 73, Quinn Miner is the offensive guard center, kind of just do-it-all weapon interior offensive lineman from Wisconsin Whitewater. So they're building the offensive line for Sam Darnold, but they're also building it for whoever comes in to play quarterback next. It's actually not a bad fit, and again, Mon needs to sit and learn for at least a season. So, if you're not sold that Sam Darnold can be the guy, but you do believe that Kellen Mond has enough upside, a fourth round pick actually makes a ton of sense. Do I think this happens on draft day? Not in the slightest, but I do understand where they're going with this. The next pick comes in the fifth round with the 169th pick, and that would be the Cleveland Browns taking Dan Moore Jr. as the potential right tackle, left tackle of the future. I think the biggest thing of all is that Dan Moore, nobody really knows what he's going to be. He did a very good job this year in pass protecting sets, but he really did well against the run. And I think what you look at is a team like Cleveland, who's going to rely heavily on their run because of what they have with guys like Kareem Hunt, like Nick Chubb, and what they can use with Donovan Peoples-Jones in the running game if they really want to as an option kind of guy. You need that swing tackle just for protection. So it adds a depth piece to solidify the offensive line. You're not asking him to start because Jedrick Wills will be the left tackle and the right tackle will be Jack Conklin, who's done a very good job. But you allow him to learn behind two very stout guys and be a part of an offensive line that I think with Kevin Stefanski still is a run base first offense. So it's a good fit. I very much actually like this fit. And I think that if you want a guy to be a swing tackle for the first couple years and maybe get some starting reps and eventually get that second contract, that's a very big deal. I think that Dan Moore going to Cleveland is a really good spot for him. Next up would be at pick 182, and it'd be the first of back-to-back picks for the Atlanta Falcons. Bobby Brown is the pick. I don't mind this, only because of I need to see what Dean Pease's defense is going to do. Is Bobby Brown going to be that nose tackle? And if he is, yeah, it's a great fit. Because if Bobby Brown's the nose tackle, he's playing the position that he was meant to play at A&M. And he did a good job. When they ran a three-man front and they took out one of the defensive linemen, Bobby Brown was not the defensive lineman they took out. It was Jaden Peavy. They kept Bobby Brown in because they know that his bull rushing ability up the middle is going to work immensely. The question is that workload going to be enough as a starter this year? Is Grady Jarrett going to be your nose tackle? And if Grady Jarrett's your nose tackle, you're learning from one of the best. But I do think it matters that depending on what Dean Pease's defensive front looks like, which I believe is going to be, you know, the standard 3-4, because that's what he ran in Tennessee, this will be something to look forward to. If he's that guy, then yeah, absolutely, this makes a ton of sense. But I do expect him to be also in a very, very, very limited role. In the sixth round with the 225th pick, the Philadelphia Eagles are selecting Carson Green. Again, it's a depth piece. There's not a lot to really know what's going to happen there, but I do think that the biggest thing is that you have a right tackle who's going to be a right tackle in the NFL, who is very good at playing the run behind a Lane Johnson, who I wouldn't say is getting up there in age, but there's definitely a feeling that he's slowly starting to decline. And there's reports that they are looking at offensive linemen potentially in the draft. Are they looking early or late? Because if they're looking early, a guy like Penei Sewell makes a lot of sense. If they're looking late, a guy like Carson Green that maybe you can develop and see what his overall potential is makes even more sense. So I very much think that this could be an actual thing that happens on draft day. I've heard from a lot of people his round is about the 6th, 7th round. So it makes a lot of sense. Last up, you do have a 7th round pick. I think he's going to go a lot higher. I think that wherever he goes, he's going to be a standout player. And at least the worst is a special teams captain. Tampa Bay Buccaneers with the 251st pick select Buddy Johnson. Again, to get him in a Todd Bowles defense, where I do think he will fit better, a 3-4 set. A lot of people said, can he come to Houston and be that linebacker up the middle? I'd rather see him back up Devin White and Levante David. Let him learn. Let him figure things out. I do think that he is such a great tackler and he's good against the run to where he could actually see his role maybe expand in a year or two. But I want him in a 3-4 set. I think if you have him play that one gap system, he's going to be a really good fit. And it's a really good fit with Todd Bowles. And it's a winning culture and he can have a chance to be that leader in the locker room as a special teams guy. Bruce Arians loves players like this. So this to me is my favorite fit of the first round. Overall, based off this mock, I'm very shocked that Jared Hocker, who is an offensive lineman, did not get selected. But most of the picks I agree with. The one I least agree with, I would say would be Carson Green. But even that, I mean, I still get the reasoning behind it. This episode of Locked On Aggies is brought to you by Built Bar, where a candy bar meets a protein bar. Now, there's 18 variety of flavors, but you know what? We already know that the coconut almond won the Built Bar challenge, so they're going to be at an all-time high demand, so go ahead and visit them. But there's also 17 different flavors that you will love to try and get your teeth on. They're covered in 100% real chocolate, so they're more like candy bars than they are protein bars, but they're low in sugar, high in protein, high in fiber, and low in calories. They're great for someone on the keto diet. Every single morning, I go work out and I start my day off with a peanut butter protein bar. It's got 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of net carbs, 5 grams of sugar. There's not really a product like this out on the shelves. Go visit BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 to save 15% off your very next purchase. That's LOCKED15 at 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Stop eating the salty sweets and enjoy a treat that will meet your needs. Built Bar from BuiltBar.com. Locked On Aggies, presented by the Locked On Podcast Network. Cole Thompson back in action, talking all things Texas A&M. If you can give me 25 minutes of your day, I can get you caught up with everything you need to know in the sporting world. Well, okay. So I won't be the actual person doing that, but someone will. It will be Peter Bukowski in the brand new show, Locked On Today. Peter breaks down all major sporting news in America, including the NCAA basketball tournament, of course the NFL draft, and the MLB season being in full swing. Subscribe on the Odyssey channel or wherever you get your podcast listening systems. So we just did the Draft Network's mock draft of where they have Texas A&M players going. Let's go ahead and look at Pro Football Network. You can follow them at PFN365 on social media if you want. Here's their mock draft of where they believe Texas A&M players will go. Let's just say, based off the mock that I just had, and again, this is all just based off of I hit shuffle and I want to see what happened. You know, sometimes you don't have the best content, so you got to go with what you have. They're being mean to A&M players. I mean, this is bad. There's only 3 that got drafted. And of the 3 that got drafted, I'm not sure like any of the fits. But the 101st pick of the 2021 NFL draft, the Detroit Lions select Kellen Mond. This is the worst situation Mond can go to. And I actually do believe in both Dan Campbell and Anthony Lynn to get this job done. But let's just look at what the Lions address in free agency. I mean, in this mock draft. Let's just talk about this for a second. Because if that therein lies the problem. You have Devonta Smith, which, okay, I'll get behind. You need a premier route runner. You need someone who can step up and make those big-time plays downfield. Baron Browning on defense. Okay, I get the reasoning. They definitely are looking at adding a linebacker in the draft. Ellerson Smith. He's an edge player out of Northern Iowa. Next up would be Kellen Mond right after that. After that, Tutu Atwell, who I think is going to be really special if you can add weight on him, but he weighs 150. Like, imagine him going across a slant pattern with Roquan Smith. He's breaking every bone in his body, and he's not standing back up. So if you can't get meat on him, he's not going to be effective in year one. He's definitely not in year two. Tommy Doyle out of Miami of Ohio is the next pick, I believe. After that, let's see. Who else do they add? I forgot they don't have a lot of picks for a minute. So keep going. Their next pick isn't for a freaking minute, guys. I mean, it's deep down there. Man, they don't have another pick. That's how bad it is. So you go get Tutu Atwell and you go get Devonta Smith, probably the two players who have the most concerns of their weight to add to this roster. Outside of that, you won't have anybody at wide receiver. Kellen Mond is not going to be successful in this offense. And now the only thing I will say is that they hopefully will have a good run game with Jamal Williams and with DeAndre Swift, but this is just a bad overall thought process because of you want to surround him with weapons, you want to surround him with an offensive line. The offensive line is okay at best. I mean, Frank Ragnow is a Pro Bowl guard. I mean, he's a great center. My bad, Pro Bowl center. He's great. But if it's not going to work with Jared Goff, it's certainly not going to work with Kellen Mond in the system. There's like no way you can play Kellen Mond in this system and expect him to be anything at Florida. This is actually, in my opinion, the worst spot for him to go to because they don't have any weapons. They have a decent offensive line, but they have zero weapons. And I hope Devonta Smith is good. I hope Tutu Atwell can get a little bit healthier and a little bit fatter, but I don't know if they can. And you're going to tell Kellen Mond if anything happens to Jared Goff, good luck. No, it's bad. Like, honestly, I hope that Devonta Smith thrives, but I don't know if he will, just because of, I got to see how his weight's going to do. It is something that you do at the wonder. I'm personally not going to look that much into it, but Tutu Atwell, I'm 100% going to. You know, I weigh 160. You have an NFL player who weighs 5 pounds less than me. Like, come on. Come on. The next pick after that is 118 Bobby Brown to the Los Angeles Chargers. Not a bad fit. What Brandon Staley's defense is going to do is going to be really interesting. Because if I look at Brandon Staley's defense overall, and you kind of have to go off of what you saw when it was in the other side of Los Angeles, when he was with the Rams, my bad. But I wonder, are they going to go to a new formation, or are they going to go keep their 4-3 front? Now, to keep their 4-3 front, you're going to have him work probably with Justin Jones. He's probably going to work with Jerry Tillery. And you're going to have to see what you do at that nose tackle position. Are you going to have him be the guy who's the big frame dude over Linval Joseph? Is he going to be Linval Joseph's replacement to where they do take out one of the defensive linemen? He's going to be the guy in the middle. If that's the case, it's not a terrible fit. If you have him be in a 3-4 set, which they could do because they're talking about potentially having a couple formations where they run a nose tackle, two defensive ends, really a defensive tackle, Justin Jones stays on the field or Jerry Tillery stays on the field but works inside, and you have Uchenna Nwosu kind of work as that standing nine technique. If that works, then yeah, same thing. I don't mind this. I also just think that there's better fits out there for him. And the last pick is Dan Moore going to the New York Jets at 226. So basically the second to last pick of the sixth round. Not the worst. Definitely not the worst. I've seen a lot worse than this. Going to the Jets, I mean, you're going to be blocking for Zach Wilson. You're going to have some guys ahead of you. Mekhi Becton's done a really good job in year one. I thought George Fant actually didn't do as terrible as people want to make it out to be. So, good depth piece. You're learning from a great offensive mind and Mike LaFleur. You're learning from a great players coach in Robert Saleh. So, overall, I don't mind this at all. The worst pick, easily, is Kellen Mond. Like, if Kellen Mond goes to Detroit, his career is done. And that's not a knock on Detroit. That's a knock on Detroit's system this year. And if you have the expectations that Jared Goff isn't going to be good, are you going to tank with Kellen Mond? And if you do, you're using Kellen Mond to tank for you to land a number one pick to go get your quarterback of the future in a Sam Howell, in a Malik Willis, in a Spencer Rattler. So that's only going to hurt his confidence even more. Like we're talking about, the NFL draft is right around the corner, and there's definitely going to be some competition and speculation on where players land. But you can always make your process and your voice heard of where you think the best odds for someone to go when you go bet on betonline.ag. BetOnline.ag gives you the best buyouts, the best lines, and the best bets every single day with highlight information found on their social media page, BetOnline_AG. Stop sitting on the sidelines and get into the action. You can make bets on literally anything. So if you think that Justin Fields actually is the pick for the San Francisco 49ers at 800-1 odds, go ahead and put down that money. If you think Kellen Mond at 200-1 will be the sixth quarterback taken, you can go ahead and make that bet. Go visit betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON to make sure that you solidify yourself as getting 50% off as a welcome deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbooks experts. Locked On Aggies, presented by the Locked On Podcast Network. Cole Thompson back in action talking all things Texas A&M. The Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey is happening now. Featuring analysts from NFL experts Michael Irving, Jason Lucanfora, and Brian Baldinger, our local experts make every team's pick, every trade, and find the next stars for your franchise. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your home for all sports, podcasts, news, and things that matter to you. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y, Odyssey. All right, one more mock draft to get through, and then we'll close this thing out. If you thought that Pro Football Network was being a little mean, Pro Football Focus isn't doing favors for anybody. Three Texas A&M players get drafted, which means everyone else is going to have to go through the free agency wire. But what I will say is that they do land, in my opinion, the best spot for Kellen Mond. and that is the Washington football team. They have him going number 74 overall to Washington as one of their two picks in the third round. I very much like this move. I do. I think that if there is an offense that he is going to work in, it is Washington's. If there is an offensive line that I think needs the least amount of help to rebuild, it is Washington's. I look at the weaponry that they have in Scott Turner's system and what Scott Turner wants. Guy who's going to hit quick passes and let the guys after the catch do the work. That's Washington. That is what Kellen Mond needs to be in. It is a good fit. That does not mean that Kellen Mond is going to be the franchise quarterback for Washington, but I think it's the best place for him to have an opportunity to be successful. You learn behind Ryan Fitzpatrick for a year. You figure out what your role is going to be. And after a year, you can finally step up and probably take over. Now, overall, do I like their mock draft? Not really. Quiddy Pay. In the second round, they get Richie Grant. That's not a terrible pick, actually, Richie Grant. But Kellen Mond is, 74. Their pick at 82 is Cameron Sample. They go a lot of defense, and they have offensive needs. So, it's a good thing that he's going to be sitting this year. But overall, it's not, this is the best spot for Kellen Mond, in my opinion. Next pick comes at 134. Bobby Brown going to the Minnesota Vikings. My question is with this, because I actually very much love that he's going to go work with Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer's so smart. Mike Zimmer knows exactly what he wants in a player. But my question with this is Mike Zimmer going to be the best guy for Bobby Brown? Is this the right system for him? If you think it is, then he's going to the right guy. Mike Zimmer's a great defensive coach. If you don't think the system is going to work for Bobby Brown, don't send him there. And the question is he going to be a defensive tackle or is he best suited as a nose tackle? And there is a difference. Defensive tackles are players who are a little bit smaller, but they're one gap systems. Brown is a little bit bigger and you're going to use him a lot in bull rushing techniques, but he's also going to be very limited against the run. I personally think any team with a 3-4 set needs to consider Bobby Brown. Like that's 100% a done deal. But if you think he can work as a one tech in a 4-3 defensive front, go ahead and get him. So yeah, at that level, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with Bobby Brown being the selection for Minnesota if you think he can work as a one tech in a 4-3 set. Final pick, I think it's the 7th round of a mistake. Yeah, it's a 6th or 7th round, I don't know. But it's 240, it's 224, Buddy Johnson going to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles need linebacker help. They haven't drafted a linebacker in the first round since 1979. If at worst, again, I say this like it's chop liver at this point. If at worst he is a locker room presence that continues to be someone that people just love to be around and work with, I'm okay with that. That's what, seventh round picks are supposed to be. If he turns out to be a superstar, even better. But there's no reason to go out of your way and go, he's going to Philadelphia. He's not going to work in Nick Sirianni and Jonathan Gannon's system. More so to me, it's just you got to get the guy to fit your roster. Like, and again, if he's a locker room guy and that's it and good on special teams, so be it. Of the three mock drafts, the one that I like the most is Pro Football Focus only because of Kellen Mond. At the end of the day, these other guys are going to be developmental. You don't really know where they're going to land. I think Dan Moore can be very successful. I think actually Carson Green, if you want to move him inside to guard, could be pretty good. I don't know about Jamon Osmond. I hope Jamon Osmond can find his way onto a roster and that he's an undrafted gem steal just because of he didn't play in 2020. But all these picks are maybe perhaps hopefuls. Kellen Mond is at least someone who I think people are expecting to get snaps, see time in the NFL, and maybe transition into something. And if that's the case, Washington makes the most sense. Absolutely, Washington makes the most sense. That's good for this edition of Locked On Aggies. Make sure you're following us on social media at Mr. Cole Thompson, at Locked On Aggies. On tomorrow's show, let's talk about the Maroon and White game. Let's talk about what I think could happen. And more importantly, let's talk about who I think needs a big time day for a successful start to the 2021 season. See you tomorrow. And remember, gig 'em, y'all.
This has been Locked On Aggies, presented by the Locked On Podcast Network.